You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
We thank you, Lord, so much for a season of thanksgiving and of gratitude. And we have so much to be grateful for. And yet, God, we also find ourselves longing and yearning for what's to come. And so, Lord, as we enter into this season of Advent, God, we pray that you would meet us in our waiting, that you'd meet us in our longing and in our yearning. We are expectant and hopeful. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning, church. How are you doing this morning? So good to be together. You guys get extra points in heaven for coming to church the week after Thanksgiving. You aren't traveling, you're here, you're not hungover from turkey anymore, and we're so glad to be together. If we've never met, my name is Derek, and I serve here as a lead pastor, and today we're really excited to kick off this Honest Advent series. As Pastor Mark already shared, our friend Scott Erickson, he wrote a book a few years ago. It's called Honest Advent, and I want to read the back cover to kind of frame this series that we're going to be in for the next 4 weeks. It says, "For too many of us, the celebration of Christmas has lost its wonder. Maybe for you, it has become a bittersweet season of complicated family dynamics, a predictable brand masking insatiable consumerism, or simply a sacred story that feels far too removed from our current chaotic world. Honest Advent seeks to eliminate the astonishing, hope-filled truth that the God who showed up in the hardest parts of humanity is still showing up today in those same places." So Scott, the author of this book, he writes a 25-day reflection and journey with meaningful illustrations and meditations to rekindle the wonder of God with us in this season. We often forget that the encounter with the incarnate Christ happens in unexpected places, like a pregnancy announcement in a time of political unrest, through the morning sickness of a Middle Eastern teenager, or the shocking biology of home birth that goes far beyond the sanitized brand of Christmas as we know it. Through powerful imagery, contemplative questions, and honest prayers, you will discover that the wonder of God with us is still happening today in your unexpected change of plans, your unaccomplished dreams, and your humble new beginnings. And so this is kind of the frame for the series that we're going to be in. And there's 25 reflections in this book. And I have a copy today for someone that sticks around afterwards to help us deck the halls. This is my shameless plug. I have no problem bribing people. And if the first person that comes and says, "Hey, I'd really love to read that book this season," who sticks around for Deck the Halls, it's yours. So we're using this as a frame of reference, as a jumping off point for this series as we reflect through Advent together. And one of the things that I want to lean in today is this idea that God didn't just come for the vulnerable, but he came as the most vulnerable. That God lowered himself down into human history through an unexpected pregnancy of a teenage Middle Eastern girl in a really chaotic season in the world with the Roman Empire at rule. And he humbled himself not only to enter into this earth as a human, but to be raised by a flawed human. To actually submit under his own creation. And I think as we think about what it means to be vulnerable, I think one of the truest expressions that we can find ourselves in when we feel the most vulnerable is when we find ourselves waiting. Waiting. Have you ever been at the mercy of someone else's time frame? Or someone else's decision, or waiting under the the pressure of someone else's power. We can find ourselves most vulnerable when we are in a place of waiting. And you even see this idea of God showing up in his vulnerability through this impeccable patience with us. When you look at the story arc of God, and you see the way that he interacts with us as his creation, and he's so patient with us. So patient that he even chooses to come through a 9-month gestation after waiting lots and lots of years to even come rescue us from ourselves and to spend 30 years of his life before he starts his public ministry being raised by a normal family. God waited. And that's where the story begins. It begins with this annunciation that the Messiah is coming. And he picks Mary and he tells her, you've been chosen to birth the Savior of the world. Imagine what it felt like for her to wait. And that's really what Advent is all about. Advent is the 4 Sundays before Christmas. And it's built as a season to help us practice waiting, to help us practice preparation. And you know, Christmas, the way we framed it up, even in our most consumeristic ways, is actually bent towards that. The gift wrapped under the tree is a practice of patience. The 365 days between December 26th and December 25th the next year is a practice in patience for a child. When is it going to be Christmas again? Is the first question that comes out of kids' mouths after all the toys have been unwrapped and they've moved on to the next thing. And this is the season we're entering into. And I think this is something that we have such a hard time with, is just the practice of waiting. Think about some of the most infuriating places we can find ourselves in life is in line. It's in line. Whether it's at the San Ysidro border coming across after you just went down for some tacos, or whether it's in the DMV line, or whether you're waiting at the airport. You got there 2 or 3 hours early to get through security, and there was no one in line, and now you're on the other side waiting. And you want to be the first one on the plane, unless you're like Pastor Mark, who's the last person on the plane always, because he's smart. And you just wait. And you're impatient. And when you land, you're waiting for everyone else to get out of your way. And it's just this really difficult thing we find ourselves in. And in the fire department where I work, we have this saying, hurry up and wait. And it's, you know, someone calls 911 and boom, you rush to the call, but it's a stand back for the police department. We got to wait for the police to clear us in, and we're just waiting. Or we go on a strike team to Northern California for a wildfire, and we rush up there. And then we wait for like a day till we get an assignment because they're organizing the incident. And this idea of hurrying to wait is just infuriating. This Friday, we went to the Liberty Station Christmas tree lighting. And it was a great event, and this year they really pulled out all the stops, and they had all sorts of cool stuff, and they had Santa, free pictures with Santa down the way. And we did everything we could in our power to not let our children know that there were pictures with Santa. Because we did not want to wait in that line. But we forgot that 2 of our 3 kids know how to read. And there's signs everywhere. And not only do 2 of our kids know how to read, but 2 of our kids know how to tattle. So the 2 older kids tattled on us to our youngest kid and said, there's Santa pictures over there. And so we pushed it off and we pushed it off and we thought we can just defer, deflect, and we might get through the night without having to do that. And at the end of the night, it's already past bedtime, and our little young Aubrey looks up at us and she says, can we please take pictures with Santa? And it's 9 p.m. and we're like, anything for you, babe. really thinking, there's no way there's still a line for Santa at 9 p.m. And we get there and the line is like around the building still. And we're like, my wife and I, Laurel, we're like, we're not going to do this. But we reluctantly get in line, thinking we can negotiate our way out of the line with the kids. There's going to be Santa at the mall. There's going to be Santa. He's going to be all over the place. In fact, we'll get first in line tomorrow somewhere else, wherever Santa's coming. We were so desperate to get out of that line when the little elf walked by. We're like, yo, where's Santa going to be tomorrow? She's like, oh, Seaport Village. What time? 2 p.m. Okay. Hey, guys, we'll get there at 1. We'll get in the front of the line. And for whatever reason, the same kids who can sing in absolute harmony the chorus of, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? The kids were just incredibly patient in this hour-long line. I knew I was preaching on waiting this morning. So I was cool, calm, and collected, but my wife was very unsettled. And it was like this, just the most cliche reminder that sometimes the best things are worth waiting for. And the kids knew it. They were going to get their photo with Santa. But see, part of our dilemma with God is that we take our same expectations and our same frustrations that we have for others or for the set of circumstances, our impatience that we have in life, and we project it on to God. Because the truth is that we're all waiting on something. We're all waiting for the diagnosis or for the promotion. We're all waiting for the job or the wife or the husband. Some of you are waiting for the good news that you're expecting. And many of us, we can grow impatient with God in this process. And this is exactly what Advent's all about, that Jesus didn't arrive without the wait. In fact, there were 400 years between the last prophecies of Jesus coming in Malachi and Jesus actually showing up. 400 years. And then he comes slow. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to help us learn how to wait. How do we learn how to wait? And Christmas is about this. So I want to reflect on this image that Scott drew of the Annunciation, and it's a beautiful image. And I want you to just look at all of the nuances of this while I read this passage. In Luke chapter 1, it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Imagine Mary in this moment. The confusion and the excitement, the fear and the joy, all packaged together in one big, who am I to be chosen? I think that pregnancy serves as the perfect metaphor for this idea. I'll never forget when Laurel and I found out that we were pregnant with our first son, Blake. There were really like three stages that we went through as we became pregnant with a child. Three stages that we journeyed through as we became expectant of what was to come. And these three kind of steps, if you will, are the very same process that you can go through when you're pregnant with an idea or a dream or a longing or maybe an answer to prayer. And these are the three steps: expectation, preparation, and completion. And I just want to break these down this morning, and maybe these might be some handles that we can hold on to when we find ourselves impatiently waiting for the thing that we're hoping for. Expectation. When you first find out that you're pregnant, the excitement swells up inside of you, but quickly reality sets in. Will it last? Will it be healthy? And so you delay in telling people until you know. And we even use language, we say we're expecting. Because even though you have the promise of something, you aren't quite sure it will come into fulfillment. The same is true when you have an idea or a dream or a hope. You can expect it, you can hope for it, but you can't be quite sure. Sometimes those promises that you're hoping for, they come from someone else. Someone has promised you something. I bet my son the other day $10 that he could, if he could start his dirt bike in one kick, I'd give him $10 because I had tried 30 times and couldn't get it started. And the gap between me telling him, I'll give you $10 if you can start this thing, and him kicking it in the first start was like 4 seconds. But in that little window of time, he was filled with expectation to the point that he thought he could do it but wasn't quite sure. It was a one-sided deal because he didn't owe me $10 if he couldn't. But sometimes the promises that we're waiting for, they come from someone else or from others. Maybe they come from God. We love promises like this, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Maybe there's a promise like that brewing inside of you that comes from the scriptures, that comes from God. Or maybe it's Ephesians 3:20. We love this one. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We love this passage. This passage fuels us with expectation that whatever we can imagine, and if you're like me, you can imagine some wild things, some wonderful things, some beautiful things, and you say, God can do more than I can even imagine. And it can fuel you with expectation. But then we find ourselves waiting. And we get impatient. Or maybe it's Psalms 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. It's like sometimes we can even find ourselves being formulaic with this. I really want that thing. So we're just like, hey, God, I like you. I love you. I'm waking up early. We get ritualistic about it. Waiting for God to give us a thing because he isn't bringing it fast enough. And the Israelites, they were promised a Messiah. And so rightly, they had great expectation for God to deliver on what he said he would deliver on. And we too, we have dreams and desires and passions and hope. And we develop great expectations for our lives. And so after our expectations are made clear and we find ourselves full of hope and looking forward to what God might have for us, we don't just sit there and wait passively. We move into a season of preparation. A season of preparation. We hate to wait, but often God is at work in the waiting. This is where we're being prepared by God and preparing ourselves for the completion, for the thing to happen, for the deliverance to come through. But waiting isn't passive, it's active. We just spent 4 weeks talking about justice and God's heart for redemption and reconciliation, that God would make all things new, that God is making all crooked ways straight, that God will right all the wrongs. And so we're filled with great expectation, believing that God will do what he said he would do. But we know that we find ourselves living in this already but not yet reality of the kingdom of God. That when Jesus came, he ushered in the new heavens and the new earth, but said it is something that is here and is still yet to come. And so we find ourselves hopeful at Maker's Church. We believe this so much, we baked it into our name. To make on earth as it is in heaven. To be makers, to be preparers, to be participants in what God is doing in the world. And so we prepare. I know when we were pregnant with our first child, we did a lot of preparing. In our world, we call it nesting. And so immediately, all of your priorities shift. All of the things that you thought mattered stop mattering, and all of the things you never thought would matter, matter. Your priorities, even around your mindset, change. Your physical space changes. Your body changes if you're a woman. And as a father, your body changes too, because you're also eating for two. This is where the dad bod comes in, and this is, everything starts to change. We start preparing. We don't just wait for the thing to come. We don't wait for the new heaven and the new earth. We are to be actively participants in preparing for it to come. I love this in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "Do not be frightened." This is where God is about to deliver the Israelites into the promised land. He's about to take them there. And Joshua says, "Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, "Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people. Prepare your provisions. For within 3 days, you are to pass over this Jordan to go into the possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess." I love that he's calling them to prepare. And also, do you notice that in this promise of God, that God didn't bring the promise to them, but he brought them to the promise. They had to get up and walk. They had to prepare themselves to be ready to cross over that river and step into the very thing that God had for them. God prepares us for the blessing as we wait. God prepares us for the promise as we wait. I know some of you are thinking, though, I'm sick of preparing. I'm sick of waiting. I feel like that I'm prepared. And the temptation to give up becomes so fast. It's like I expected it, I prepared for it, and I've waited long enough, and now I'm about to give up. And if that's you, I've been there. And I find myself there. And this passage brings me so much hope and comfort. Isaiah 40, verse 27. This one helps me a lot. "Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God?" Have you ever felt like your hopes and your dreams and your desires have been disregarded by God? "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary." Isn't that good news? That when we grow tired and weary, that he will not. "In his understanding, no one can fathom." Isn't that also comforting? That we just can't comprehend or understand. That gives me license to stop trying. He gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. I've yet to see that become true yet in my 10-year-old son's life, but I'm waiting for that day. I'm expectant. I'm preparing for that. And young men will stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. When you find yourself in a season of wanting to give up, of wanting to stop waiting, perhaps these words can bring you hope. That our hope is not in the promise of the thing to come. That our hope is not in getting what we want. But that our hope is in the Lord. That our hope is in a God who doesn't grow tired or weary. Philippians 4:6 also says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." It's like the perfect bridge passage from Thanksgiving to Advent. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I love this passage because what it doesn't say submit it and you'll get it. It doesn't say just put your request in here or put the thing in the complaint box in the back and you'll get what you asked for. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say get it your way right away. What the passage says, it says that when you do this, when you bring your request to God with thanksgiving, it says that the peace of God will come upon you. That your impatience and your inability to trust or to wait, that in a season of that, when you bring your request to God, that His peace will comfort you. And it's not that God isn't trying to give you what you want, although many times that is the case because what you want isn't what you need. But God is up to something. He's doing something. He's cultivating something in you in this season of waiting. Romans 8:18. I consider that our present sufferings. You ever felt like you're suffering while you're waiting? Are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Do you see this even the way he writes? He writes about the hope of what's to come. The glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation itself waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope, we are saved. Not in getting it, not in having it happen, not in waiting till it happens are we saved, but in the hope of this coming true, we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not have yet, we wait for it patiently. And so we can have this season of expectation and we can move through a season of preparation. And in God's time, we'll enter completion. The completion of this promise will come to be. The truth is, and this one's a hard one for us to get, See, the truth is often, it isn't us who are waiting on God, but it's God who's waiting on us. 2 Peter 2:9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. You ever felt like God's just molasses slow? Like, come on, God, get it together. You're the God of the universe. You can make it happen in the snap of your fingers. Where are you, God? What are you doing? Are you on vacation? Are you enjoying watching me squirm? It says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you. You not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. We think we're the ones waiting on God. And so many times, so often, he is the one waiting on us. Waiting on us to come to him in repentance. Waiting on him to come to him with our hope and with our faith. But we can believe that if we do that, if we come to God in repentance, if we come to God and we place our faith and our hope and our trust in him, then Philippians 1:6 will always be true. That he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. See, oftentimes we feel like God is late or that he's inconsiderate or indifferent, but God's never late. God's time is always on time. He never comes in our time, but he always comes at the right time. And we wish he would just comply to our wishes and our schedules. And even worse, though, we see this happen throughout the whole story of Jesus coming into earth, is that when God does show up, when God does deliver us into the promised land, when God does bring us the promise that we hoped for, it looks nothing like we imagined. So many times, God's already come through with what he promised, but we didn't recognize it. We missed it. Because it didn't look or feel like we thought it would. This is the story of Jesus. The Messiah, the promised Messiah, who finally came and looked nothing like they hoped it would. The way God moved didn't meet their expectations. And so they crucified him. We expect Christ to come. We expect God to follow through. We expect God to deliver on what he said. But he does it in unexpected ways, in vulnerable ways. God meets us in our own vulnerabilities. I want to reflect on this image of the vulnerable way God chose to come to us. This is not what we expected. What does it say about a God who is willing to be this vulnerable with us? Who's willing to come into this world through the statistical risk of childbearing? Who's willing to be attached by a placenta for nourishment and life to its own creation? Who's willing to wait and grow in a human womb? Who's willing to be fearfully and wonderfully made, just like we are? What does it say about a God who would come in the most unexpected ways. The early Jesus followers had to change their expectations. The ones who actually chose to see and notice and take notice that this was indeed the Messiah had to become attentive to the movement of God that was happening all around them. And they began to change their understanding to see how God was choosing to move in human history. How is God moving in your midst? How is God moving in unexpected ways as you wait? And has God already delivered on what he promised, and you just can't see it? I want to end with this reflection from Passion City. It says, while God rarely comes at our appointed time, he always comes at the right time. All of us are waiting on something, often wondering if God has forgotten us. In your waiting, let the birth of Christ encourage you. Just because God hasn't come through, as far as you can see, it doesn't mean he's abandoned you. Though circumstances say otherwise, God is going to come through on schedule, fulfilling his long-appointed plans for you. Don't give up before the time is right. Take hope in the manger and know that you are loved and prized by the God who stepped down from heaven and arrived in the perfect way and in the perfect time for you. Let's pray. God, Psalm 27:14 says to wait for the Lord, to be strong, to let our hearts take courage, and to wait for you. God, I very rarely associate being strong and taking courage with practicing patience. But God, perhaps the most courageous thing we can find ourselves doing is patiently waiting for you to come through. God, being full of expectation, full of hope, full of promise. And then God, getting to work in preparation, not waiting passively, but actively participating in what you're doing in the world. Oh, would you give us eyes to see your activity? Would you give us hearts to feel what you're doing all around us? And God, would you never let us give up hope? Give us hope, God. That's where we find our salvation, is our hope in you. I'm feeling led to do this morning. I haven't done this in a while. But I wonder if there's anyone here in person or anyone watching online who has yet to place their hope in Jesus, yet to place their hope in the promise of who God is, your creator, your deliverer, your comforter. If you're here and you've never placed your hope in Jesus and you want to do that today, I would love to invite you to do that. If you're online, you can say so in the chat. If you're here in person, you can just say a simple prayer like this: Jesus, I place my hope in you. I receive your love and your forgiveness. And today I choose to follow you. In your name I pray. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that this morning, we would love to welcome you into our community and walk alongside of you. And the best way for you to say so, and we're not going to do the raise your hand thing or come forward thing, but we do want to know that you've made that decision. And the best way, it sounds so like not spiritual, but it's just to pull out your phone and text the word makers to 97000. And there's a menu of options, and one says, say yes to Jesus. And if you just hit that number and hit send, we will personally follow up with you and help you learn what it means to follow Jesus with your life. We're just so glad to enter into this season with you guys. And just would you stand and sing one last song with us?
You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.